Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again. You're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr., the Black Lives Matter show. We are broadcasting here from Fresno, California. We are excited to be on the show just one more time. It's been a long day, long week, but we are just happy to be on the air just one more time. Been a long day, been having fundraisers today, trying to raise funds. We appreciate everyone who supported today. It's just, man, where do you start? Where do you start here in Fresno? But I just want to give a shout out to all of the freedom fighters who across the world, across the country, who is doing great things, trying to build consciousness in the Black community. Like I said, where do you start? I mean, it's really depressing, I guess, for me right now, looking at the makeup of Fresno, looking at, where we come from, looking at how the condition of our people, just really looking at community, looking at how dysfunctional, if I may use that word, dysfunctional, our community is. Economically, we're just messed up. And I'm talking about African American people. Tomorrow, moving forward, I will be speaking at the West Fresno Democratic Club meeting that they have once a month. I am the first presiding president of this club. I want to give this disclaimer out there right now before I go tomorrow, in case you show up. These clubs were created by Barbara Powell, who was a good friend of mine. She felt at the time that people of color did not have a voice in Fresno County. And she created these clubs for Hispanic, Latino, LGBT, just different ethnics of groups who didn't have a voice. And so we created the West Fresno Club for the African-American community to have a voice in Fresno. And I believe right now it does have a voice. I believe that the West Fresno Club now, who under the leadership of Allen Reed, who will be here tomorrow, who's a presiding president of the club, has been really working tirelessly trying to educate and bring acknowledgement around Black issues. And she's been doing a darn good job of it, with the lack of support of the community She's self-driven. She's done voter registration tables out in the community. She's in the process now of hiring a precinct person, I believe, to be over that component. She's kind of like the watchtower. She's always watching and listening about what's going on here in the Black community. And so we thank her for that. Now, what I did was tonight, for those of you who may or may not be able to make it tomorrow, I will be speaking there to whoever show up, specifically talking about Black issues and my perspective of what's going on, some ideas of how we move forward. But you have to understand something about Fresno is that, you know, Black people are only 4 or 5% of the population. So we don't have the numbers anymore like we did back in the 60s here in West Fresno. So we really, as I said last week, I mean, we don't even have the power to, as an ethnic group, you know, to put anyone in office. So that means that we're always having to partner and collaborate with other ethnic groups because they have the numbers to put people in office. So people just basically have to sympathize with our issues here in West Fresno. And it didn't used to be like that. I mean, I think West Fresno was a very powerhouse community. Once upon a time, it was a community where Black men and Black pastors would stand together, even with their differences, arm in arm. I believe that once upon a time that we had economic wealth and businesses, Black businesses that we had here in West Fresno. Well, now we hardly have anything. We don't have anything. Now, our Hmong community, who has been here not even 40, 50 years, we've been here 400 years. And if you go down Kings Canyon, down by Willow, where the Big Five and Planet Fitness, you know, they have bought the entire complex. The entire complex they have bought for their community. And so you see how the economic flow of money does, right? And what we call that in our culture, we call it Black Wall Street, back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1921, where Black people, we did have our, and I want you to go to YouTube. Hey, Sherry, I want you to go to YouTube. And I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to go to YouTube when you have a chance and just type in Black Wall Street and see how our ancestors were able to build, economically build wealth, build businesses. And, you know, after slavery, there was over 40-something towns that were built by our ancestors, which was basically burnt down to the ground by Ku Klux Klan. And, you know, how did that affect us today? You know, I mean, I honestly, I've been doing civil rights work for over going on 37 years now here in Fresno, as well as across the country. And I believe Johnny Nelum was the last male that really stood out for Black people and Black people issues. And now he's elderly and kind of sickly and taking care of his health, so he does not in the community. But I believe the baton was passed to me after Brother Nellums kind of stepped down because of health reasons. And even now, we should have, with the amount of issues that's going on here in Fresno pertaining to Black people, we should have, we're only 5%. And that's not a lot. But with the conditions of what's happening to Black people economically, housing, health-wise, police brutality, effort rate, jobs, you name it, environmental racism. Our black community, not all, but a large of them, is quiet as a church house mouse. Why is that? Why is it that we can't, as black people, stand together and band together? I call her my partner in crime. She's on the line. This is welcome to the show. We're just talking about me speaking tomorrow at the West Fresno Democratic Club. Really inviting people. Going to be making some announcements tonight on Facebook and what have you. Inviting people personally, as well as community-wise. Invited Al Smith. He committed to come. Ingram. She says that she's coming. And I think it's good. I think it's good to have a dialogue about us, about what's going on with us. I mean, too many times, charity starts at home. I mean, how can I love you when I don't even love myself? You wouldn't even have any respect for me. You see what I'm saying? And so we're at a crossroads right now in Fresno where I think that, you know, our young people are leaving here, going to college elsewhere. I believe this radio show is the only progressive black radio show that we have in the community here, nationwide. And we have many people that tells me that they say, Harris, we follow you every night. We follow your Facebook. Because I think people are tired of phony leadership. I think people want to see a change. But the only time you can have change is when you become conscious and when you understand who you are, where you come from, where you're trying to go, and also understand who is responsible for the destruction of where we are today. And so what are your thoughts in regards to how the community is responding to the issues that's going on in Fresno? I mean, there are many, many, many issues. I mean, even in Oakland, our unions in Oakland are so progressive. I mean, they came out with Black Lives Matter, but here in the San Joaquin Valley is so conservative.
And people seem to be, for lack of a better word, afraid to speak up and speak truth to power. And it's difficult for those of us who are born here who have seen the changes over the years, Rev, because we would have thought that given the education many of us have and the jobs many of us have been able to get and acquire I'm talking middle and upper management kind of folks, that we will be further along. But if those people don't speak up and say what's going on for the greater good, then we have a problem. And I think that it's a sin and a shame that Ashley Swearingen was able to bring $70 million to Fresno. I'd like to really find out what the percentage was that was given to black groups or black people out of that TCC monies. Now, there are one or two that we know of. I know they just recently broke ground for a new facility at St. Rest. And I'm happy for the church, and I'm happy for the congregation and the pastor. I'm happy for them. And I know that there was another sister, I think, who lives in Madera County, the northern part of Fresno, who got like $100,000. That's a drop in the bucket compared to $70 million. So they were able to get that money based on the terrible conditions in West Fresno. And West Fresno is not even benefiting from that money. So I think it's a couple of things that's the problem, Rev. that they know that the black people who remain here are not going to kick and make a fuss when things are taken away from us or not provided for us. That's number one. Number two is that integration has been both a blessing and a curse. So instead of people saying, okay, well, I got a good job now, I'm going to keep my house in West Fresno, I'm going to fix up my house, or I'm going to buy a bigger house in West Fresno and stay in the community, they leave. They either go to Northeast or Northwest Fresno, away from their community, out of sight, out of mind, or they leave town completely and they don't come back. And so then the problems in West Fresno for black people expand exponentially based on the number of people who have abandoned it. So it's a couple of reasons why we're not further along. Oh, I left out one thing, Rev. The third thing is that many of us don't want to deal with the problems. We only want to go to functions where we can dress up and have a good time and party, give each other awards, you know, that type of thing. So progressive thought and progressive action is really not at the forefront of these folks' mind, it seems to me. I could be wrong, and I will stand corrected if somebody can prove me different. So I think it's those three things as a majority.
Well, there was a question I want to ask. Who is your guest tonight? It's Miss Allen Reed. He is the president of the West Fresno Democratic Club. We'll be meeting tomorrow. Can you give me the location where we're going to be meeting?
Yes, I'm happy to, and thank you for inviting me, Reverend. It's 1033 U Street in downtown Fresno. It's across the street from the Starbucks and the Office Depot in downtown Fresno. Not too far from Community Regional Medical Center. So that's 1033 U Street, and the meeting starts at 9 o'clock promptly, and it'll end at 11 a.m. So we've got 2 hours to conduct club business, usually the first 30 minutes, and then, say, from 9:30 on, we'll have our speaker, and we're all very excited to hear what Reverend Harris has to say and his message to the community.
Yeah, thank you. And that was 1033
U Street.
Yes. Across from the Office Depot. No, I'm honored to come. I've just been thinking about what to say. I'm a black man, and I'll be speaking from a black perspective. And I'm really not going to sugarcoat anything tomorrow. I think that black people need a jump start. I think that when you have a heart attack, you put those things on your chest and they shoot electricity through your heart. And I think that looking at the power structure here in this city, how you had former Chief Foster,
mm-hmm.
who was caught by the FBI,
right,
selling drugs into our community. Mm-hmm. I believe he was wiretapped, different things.
All that video.
Now, while all this was going on, the police department was still, and I'm talking about the Southwest Police Department, was having bounce houses and hot dogs in our community, telling us that we need to respect cops, telling us that, you know, we don't need to sell drugs while the police department is selling drugs. But so there's a double standard here, from my perspective. You have Chief Dyer at the time, who's now running for mayor, It was up under his watch that his right-hand man was selling narcotics. And what's more interesting is not about, you know, we all make mistakes, but what was more interesting about the situation with Keith Foster and Dyer, Chief Dyer, is that Chief Dyer was over Chief Foster, Deputy Chief Foster, his right-hand man. And right. what's interesting is what Chief Dyer said. He said, let me put some framework for what I'm talking about. I don't want everybody to really hear me, because I want everybody to understand when you hear me say that there's a double standard, and when you hear me talk about institutionalized racism, when you hear me talk about systemic racism, when you hear me talk about white privilege, when you hear me talk about all that stuff, I want to bring it back so that you understand that the ultimate person that was responsible for his police department was Chief Dyer. Now, let's say that Chief Dyer didn't know that his right-hand man was selling drugs. Then that means that Chief Dyer is not competent as a chief to be over a police department when his right-hand man that he chose to be his right-hand man is selling drugs in our community, that you're arresting that you're arresting black people for and brown people
And Dyer had been chief for what, 18 years, 20 years, something like that?
Yes, ma'am. And so if he didn't know, then it shows that he's an incompetent chief. If he did, D.I. did know, then that even makes it worse. So you got the best of the evils here. You pick either one you want to pick. But what was more interesting to me than anything is how the community responded, how the black community responded to this corruption of drug selling in our federal police department from the upper management level. And what's more interesting is how the Fresno community responded. Now, let's flip the script for a second. Let's say that Deputy Chief Foster, who was a black man, was the chief of police. And Chief Dyer was the deputy police.
Right.
And Chief Dyer get busted like former Chief Foster did. And Foster says as the chief, well, I didn't know that he was selling drugs. I didn't know.
Right.
Now, do you think from one iota that the white, angelical, white Christian community say, you know what?
He helped
to go. You didn't know. Okay, it's all right. It's all right. No. These white people in this community would have went out like they did our black people. And they would have found a tree. They would have found a pole, a bridge, and they would have hung Deputy Chief Foster at that time if he was the chief of police. But
the churches
said nothing about this. And so since they said nothing about this, well, one church did, and I'm going to get into that piece, that he running for mayor now. And he has had all this
higher job
in the police, and we're paying for it, and everybody's okay with it. I haven't heard a black pastor say, you know what? I'm talking about publicly. Now, there have some said something behind the door.
Right.
You see, no one has said anything publicly from a religious standpoint to say, no, man. No. You was over a whole police department, and you're arresting people, telling them not to sell drugs, and your own right-hand people selling drugs. How you feel that you're confident to be the mayor of Fresno? Who's having that conversation? I mean,
nobody's having it.
Who's dialoguing about, don't even think about it, okay? Now, there was one white pastor that I know who did stand up and say something, and he went to the black clergy, and he told the black clergy, he said, you know, we need to go to City Hall and demand that Chief Dyer resign because of what happened with all his drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that all his deputy chiefs have sued him for racial situations and they have settled out of court. Now, where are we going with this?
Well,
when it comes to black people in Fresno, it's a very dangerous town to live in because we have no representation on any level. We have no civil rights organizations on any level to stand up for the people. Other than my church and the West Fresno Club and this radio show, this is all we have, folks. This is all we have.
So do you think, okay, so now Jerry Dyer is the standard bearer of white privilege and white supremacy in Fresno, and his backers are getting behind him. Why they're saying, well, he found religion, and, you know, he has been washed clean of his sins. And I got to say to all of our listeners, you know, unless God comes and tells me personally that Dyer is been saved and all that, I'm not going to believe it because I've already seen this is a man who was photographed holding a noose with another person in the police department, a noose. And we all know what that is a symbol for. This is the man who wants to be the next mayor of Fresno. And unless somebody challenges him who can win this thing, he is going to become the next mayor of Fresno. So how hard do you think it's going to be, Rev, to be black in the city if he becomes mayor? It's going to be real hard to be black in the city. Black people think they're scared now to speak up publicly. They really going to have a reason to be scared if Dyer gets to be mayor. Oh, yes.
Well, we just like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We're here on Friday night. Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We'll be speaking at the West Fresno Democratic Club. Feel free to call in to 563-999-3490. This is your show. We do this 5 days a week for the love of you. We do it when we're tired. We do it when we're not tired. This is the airway for liberation, justice, and equality, and freedom here for black people in Fresno. You know, I've been in the trenches. You know, I've been on the front line. I've been holding the front line. But there is something really wrong about Fresno. Mm. There is something really wrong about this town. It's dangerous. It has no substance to it. It's corrupt. Black contractors here, which will be there with me tomorrow. I hope, and I'm going to ask the body tomorrow, will they allow us to live stream? Because I want the world to hear my guests that I'm bringing. I'm being a guest and I'm bringing guests, but because it's important that people tell their own story. I can tell it for you. But it's important that we give our community an opportunity to tell their story about how racism, white racism here in this city, at City Hall, Board of Supervisors, is literally lynching us
right
every day.
Yes, it needs to be told
every single day. And I, for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out. Listen, when I march in protest, people send a message to me. They say, "Is there any black people in Fresno?" And I said, "Yeah." They said, "Well, why is it every time we see you do something, we don't see any black people?" It's always non-black. See, that's a dangerous city to live in.
If you're progressive and you're black, it certainly is.
See,
and the other black folks are afraid.
Right. So when you look at it for what it's worth, who's the voice of the people? Where do our children go for assistance and help? Where do the elderly go? I mean, it used to be the NAACP.
Reverend Harris, it used to be, but all that has changed. I called you this afternoon, Reverend. You have to excuse me, listeners. I'm going a little off topic. But I think I shared with you about the five police cars that were next to King School and all these black kids standing around with the police talking to them, no adults. I had to pull my car, I had to circle back, pull my car over and get out and go ask these young people, what is going on? Why are you guys being stopped? I didn't talk to the cops. I talked to the children. The cops were mad mugging me. Oh, hello, ma'am. How are you? Hey, I'm cool. I want to go talk to these kids. Because somebody's got to stand up. I don't have any children, listeners. I don't have any. I have five nephews who are grown and great nieces and great nephews. But as a black woman, a black adult, I wanted to find out what the hell's going on over here. So it was a fight. And the people who were perpetrating the fight took off, and five police cars and 10 cops talking to a bunch of young people with no adult supervision whatsoever. I'm sure they hadn't called these children parents. So this is what we're talking about, listeners. This is what we mean when we say people have got to stand up. And I would like to think, I know for a fact, I'm going to say this, he could disagree with me. I know for a fact if Reverend Harris had been passing by that scene, he would have stopped and found out what was going on. That's what we need the other leaders in the city to do. We need to find out what the hell's going on. West Fresno is being occupied right now by Fresno PD. They have taken over Hidden Center as a substation. They've got the substation at Food Max. They've got many outposts at the West Fresno Regional Center, Maxi Parks. That pretty much covers it. So to reiterate your point, Rev, you were saying, where's the black leadership? Where's NAACP? Where's BAPAC? Well, BAPAC's getting ready for their statewide convention in Fresno, middle of next month.
But my question is, where are the gatekeepers who are supposed to be watching over the community? When it comes to injustice in Fresno.
Right.
That's my question.
I don't know.
And I wish somebody would call in and tell me.
I wish they would.
Where they at?
I wish they would. You know, a good example, when we talk about gatekeepers, I think I might have mentioned, and I'm going to be talking about this at our meeting tomorrow, our general meeting for the West Fresno Democratic Club. I'm a part with many, many other people of the Voters' Choice Advisory Council, where they're going to be putting the new voting machines in Fresno and all that. So I'm listening to this process. I went Wednesday, and it was like an hour and a half meeting. Okay, when we started out, the room was full, and as the weeks and months have progressed, it's gotten fewer and fewer. this last meeting, I was the only black person in attendance, y'all. We only started out with about four or five black folks in a room of maybe 60 people. Wednesday, I was the only one. And I asked a question, and here was my question I asked. I said, well, you know, this whole process about voting and citizenship and all that, this should be part of the school system. So has any, you know, are the schools reaching out? Oh, well, we're in the schools. And I said, well, could I please ask which schools you've gone to talk about voting rights? This is what they said. We've been to Buchanan, we've been to Sunnyside, and we've been to Central. And so I said, I would like to see you go to Edison High School in Southwest Fresno. Oh, well, we can go there if we're asked. And I said, well, I'm asking. Oh, well, the school has to ask. So this is what we're up against, listeners. This is what we're up against in Fresno. Now, the three schools that they listed, only one of them, Sunnyside, was in Fresno, and that was in Southeast Fresno. I think black people here in Fresno are going to have to be get out of their comfort zones, those of them who are comfortable, because I know a lot of the poor people are not comfortable. They're just complacent. They're going to have to get out of whatever comfort zone they're in now, and they're going to have to get out in the street. Because we are under siege. Our house is on fire, y'all. Our house is on fire, and the oppressor is not going to help us put it out. We're going to have to do that for ourselves.
You know, there's an old saying, do for self or be a slave. I'm trying to figure out why is it so difficult for us to come in one room, sit down and talk, and come up with a black agenda?
And we need one. We need one. We certainly need one, Reverend.
So somebody wrote something on Facebook, and it says, I hope this person will call in, 563-999-3490. It says, black lives matter, but to who? Says, clearly black lives do not even matter to black lives.
Oh.
It reads on to say, how can we sit up and command and expect respect and to matter to anyone else if we do not even matter to ourselves.
Can I say something, Rev? I know you're going to respond to this, and I hope this person calls in. But let me ask that person, would you say the same thing about Latinos? They have some of the same issues that we have. They demand respect from the power structure. They're fighting for their people in that respect, and they're going through the same kind of things that we're going through. Why should we be any different? And I'm not saying that we should go and kill each other or rob each other. Of course not. But why should we be held to a higher standard of care than anybody else? Of course we want those things to stop in our neighborhoods. But I think we need to understand where all that's coming from. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, I hope this person calls in. I really would be honored for you to, we don't bite. just ask people to be respectful. We get passionate with our conversations, but
yes.
Please call 563-999-3490. So, and before that, Stephanie Smith Jackson, thank you for tuning in. Denise Mitchell, thank you. Stanley, my cousin, thank you. Shelly, thank you for tuning in. Tanya, thank you. Denise, my good friend, she wrote, "Nothing will change without the change of the diet." People putting the address up. Who is your guest tonight? That's Allen Reed. Brooks, thank you for tuning in. Misha, thank you. Denise wrote, "Most are not paying attention to the difference of the home from then till now. We have fast foods that is changing our diets and warfare. It is so simple. Everyone is ignorant to it." Very Sherry Martinez, thank you, my good friend. Maddie, thank you. Oliver, thank you. Gloria, thank you. Paula, thank you.
All right, now.
Thank you again. It starts with what we feed ourselves, okay? With the plate. Jessica, thank you. Okay, I'll go back and see what that was. Jessica, Perry, thank you. Denise, again, thank you. Okay, all right. Just wanted to give a shout out to all those who were tuning in. Okay, all right. So,
what's your response to their query, Rev? That you know, black lives don't even matter to other black lives.
Okay, give me one second. Let's see, because if we do not hold ourselves to a higher standard, they never will. Okay. Sherry Martinez keeps cutting you off. Yeah, well, they want to censor me, that's for sure. Facebook does. It starts at home. And I do not have a clue where we should begin, but we got to start somewhere. I agree it starts at home, but I mean, you know, the old folk used to say it takes a village to, just called in. I guess I'll let them in before I speak. Let me see. Got 4644. Welcome to the show.
That wasn't me on Facebook.
Okay.
How y'all doing tonight?
Good. I was just trying to respond to it, but go ahead.
You know, I was looking at the population of Fresno. Heck, blacks only make up 40,414 in 2018. Does that sound about right? 40,000 people. Then if you divide that by two, well, actually a third, because you have children in there, you divide it by 25%, take off 50%. So you 10,000. You got 20,000 people that's able to vote that's black in that community. That is, if a family of four and two are children and two are adults.
That number might be even less than that if you're counting people who might have been in prison, on probation, and are not allowed to vote. So you have to take in all of that.
Right. So you lacking a lot of people in order to get a lot of things done.
Yeah, we're to be honest with you, sir, we're really in a really bad predicament here in Fresno, because we, we have the, of course, every city does, the black-on-black crime, and then we have the, you know, the profiling, and then we have the, you know, the education system, and then we have, you know, a lot of single family homes. We have, you know, men's can't, you know, don't have the education to get the job. I mean, so there's just a lot of factors, you know, that we're dealing with here. But the previous caller, I was trying to answer their question, but I see. Oh, okay, so it starts at home, and I do not have a clue where it should begin, but got to start somewhere. Well, that's true. If we don't hold ourselves to a higher standard, they never. Yeah, that's true too. And Black Lives Matter, but to who? Clearly, Black Lives do not even matter to Black Lives. How can we sit up and demand, command, and expect respect to anyone else if we do not even matter to ourselves?
The few people, the few blacks that you have in Fresno, on this chart on poverty, it says that you have 39,260. You got the highest percentage in the poverty rate, 41.8%. How in the heck do you have that like that?
Tell them the stats, Riff. Tell them the stats.
Well, you know, nationally speaking, on a national level, you can look this up if you know, on your computer. If you look up the Brooklyn Institution report, they have written two or three reports on Fresno that specifically digs into the poverty. We rank number one, then we rank number two. Then we go from two to one, and we bounce back with Bakersfield, California, which is 2 hours south of us. But yet, what you have to understand, which I haven't understood yet, is the area that we're in, California, from the Grapevine, which over that mountain is L.A., Los Angeles, and we're 3 hours from L.A., 3 hours from Sacramento, the capital, and about 3 hours from Oakland, San Francisco, that this whole region is ag. And I don't understand how is it that we continually to be in a poverty, even conversation, when we're the breadbasket of the country. I mean, there's so much ag that comes out of this place here that feeds over 70
billion
and export. And so I'm like, so how is it that, I mean, I don't understand that. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Plus your marriage rate, you got the least married and the most never married blacks. Now, you know, you can look at the population in two ways. Of course, you have a low population, but also the good thing, you don't have that many people to work with to help turn their lives around. Right?
Right.
If you look at it that way, you got 1,553 veterans, so they should be pretty much on the also. You don't have, if there was a revolutionary.
They're suffering too. They're suffering too, brother. Reverend, I know a lot of veterans who are having a lot of issues. So it's difficult. The black infant mortality rate is very high here. How do you say it? Everything that's bad that could happen in a community is happening in Fresno. It's like ground zero. We've got the highest poverty per capita rate in the nation. 10th worst city in America for blacks to live in.
You got that right. The unemployment is almost 20%.
Yeah.
Higher than any other race.
We know. We live here. We know.
But here's the question. At the end of the day, like it or not, it has to deal with politics. But is it that the politicians even care? Or do they don't care? Or do they see a blind eye? I mean, statistics are statistics. And I think what our brother's reading, everybody is reading, the Brooklyn Institution report. came here and did a thorough study
right.
on the poverty
right.
in Fresno. How come the politics? I mean, so my question is, I believe that there's big money in poverty. I believe that poverty generates income for state agencies. I believe poverty generates jobs. Poverty generates that type of revenue that a city needs to justify. Because this Brooklyn Institution report, and I hope you get a chance to read it, sir, that this is old news, but then the question becomes, how come no one is coming to the table to address it, but yet we keep saying when folks run for office, it's all about public safety, all about public safety. You never get anyone to run for office and say, okay, we got a poverty issue here. And if we don't address this poverty issue,
People are getting paid, Rev. Because people are getting paid. It's the same way with the schools. If you have lower attendance, that ADA, that is what they base their money on, who's getting what, based on attendance at the school. So these children are getting pushed through this system just like they did 30, 40 years ago. Some of them are coming out, illiterate, functionally illiterate. But the teachers, the administrators, the Fresno Unified School District are still getting paid. And so why should they really, it's terrible to say, but things are not changing because nobody has the moral and political will to make them change, and they're still making a living. And we and the people who are suffering continue to suffer, and they don't have the wherewithal for whatever reason to speak up for themselves. I know for a fact, based on stats at the office, the Democratic office, that there are more registered Democrats in Fresno than there are Republicans, but they do not vote. And I'm talking about across color lines. So how are we going to have change if people won't even go to the polls?
Well, they're probably doing okay.
They are, yeah.
See,
but they can vote for their brothers and sisters.
Well, that's the point. I've always said that this wish, I guess you can say, that people, because they're a certain political party, was going to act out in a way that's going to benefit everybody in that political party. You know, the old cliche that blood is thicker than water rules. And looking at this, whites are doing pretty good in Fresno compared to everybody else.
Exactly.
White poverty rate is only 14%, 14.7%. Blacks is 41.8%. That's twice more than theirs.
So here in Fresno, we have a street called Shaw, which kind of like back in the day was the railroad track with black and white, but it's Shaw. Now, Shaw is the breaking point where the wealth lives past Shaw. Okay, you have all of the evangelical, Republican churches, however you want to call it, for lack of a better word, that have the political savvy, has the political money and finances and support and resources to move an agenda, right, for them. And what happens is every time election time comes, north of Shaw outvotes the entire city. So that number you just said that whites are doing good and you looked at their statistics is true because they live in a certain part of town, right? And when I say that, you have the officers, the sheriff, and all these people, lift judges, all of that area. And so they have the power to make the decision. So when you look at south of Shaw, the opposite of the white wealth, you have people, that's where the poverty come in at, right? You have people barely making it, people working 3 and 4 jobs. Whatever the case may be. And so when it comes time to vote, most people really, it's like, I ain't got time to be voting, man. I'm even trying to survive, pay my rent, pay, put food on the table. My wife is working two jobs. I'm working three. I'm trying to get our kids through school, you know. And so it's not that it's an excuse. It's a reality that those who in that poverty rate don't have that six-figure income, right, really just don't have time to get politically savvy because it's like, man, I'm just trying to live.
Exactly.
But like you said the other day, and I've been telling people what you said. I said, listen, this brother said, and I said, he said it so profoundly. Y'all need to get the hell out of Fresno.
And many have. Many have.
I was just getting ready to tell you that again.
Yeah, many have, and they ain't came back either.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you something else. Where are all these Hispanics doing? You got five times more Hispanics in poverty than black folks, four times more than white. So what the heck are these Hispanics doing? Don't they realize that they having a problem?
Well, that's a whole different kettle of fish. But I will tell you this, brother. They can live in their neighborhoods and never have to venture out to go anywhere or get anything and survive. They have Spanish-speaking only stores, barbershops, everything. They're quinceaneras, you know, for their 15-year-old, I am a woman now ceremonies, all of that. They have all of that. Whereas in Southwest Fresno, that used to be predominantly black, all of that has been wiped out. Our small businesses have all been wiped out from redevelopment. So the Hispanics, while they can be self-contained, they are also, many of them, fighting for, you know, equal justice and social justice and all that other stuff. You know, and they make up the majority of Fresno City Council right now.
Hispanics do?
Yes, they do. Yes, you got
200. Look, according to this poverty state, you got 250,000 total Hispanics and 85,000 in poverty. You only got 139,000 whites in Fresno poverty. Okay.
Man, I'll tell you the white. Here's the other piece, if I may say. And I really think this is illegal, but I'm not an attorney. But here in Fresno. So I'm going to use the terminology, good old boy, for lack of better words, that you have a chief of police who is very corrupt, who's now running for mayor, who right-hand
man.
Yeah, he's running for his right-hand man was selling narcotics in our community. He was wiretapped by the FBI. And the chief of police says, well, I didn't know he was doing that. Now, this is the right-hand man. You see this man more than you see your wife.
He's the black police chief?
He's white.
The second in command was black.
And he was selling drugs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, the same police chief that we're talking about, Chief Dyer, there's a picture of him holding a noose in his hand. A noose. A noose is what hung black people in his hand. And for the life of me, I say to myself, how do we process that? Or can we process that? I mean,
well, you know what the problem is here.
Okay,
you stay in a community that has a large population of Hispanics, Asians, and Native Americans. Add all three of them together. You got a large population of those persuasions. And they don't have no sensitivity for those things. It doesn't faze them whatsoever. The only ones that would be fazed by that would be white if they're from this country. But Hispanics don't have no sensitivity toward those things, civil rights, the Constitution, so on and so on, generally, as it applies to blacks and the history that they have. So that's why there's no outcry. And if it was, you wouldn't understand what they're saying. unless you speak Spanish or Asian, one of the Asian languages.
Well, we
think
do
about
have
it.
We do have some Latino allies in the community who are progressive thinkers, but that's only because the people in their group have caught hell the same as us. You know, because out here on the West Coast, a lot of Latinos are farm workers. So they're making, we're talking the bottom of the bottom. A lot of them are undocumented. So they're catching hell at the border, the southern border. And this is a big issue for them. So for them, the border is like the noose is for us. Only we're talking 400 years of it. And, you know, they haven't. They're not dealing with it the same way that we are. So in many respects, you're correct, because a lot of Latinos consider themselves Caucasian. But the ones who are woke and conscious understand that the white man looks at them the same way they look at us. So in order for us to build political power in Fresno, we're going to have to build coalitions. And, you know, we understand that. But in the meantime, we need black people to get off their behinds and take a stand about the things that are important instead of just floating along. I remember our former mayor, Alan Autry, who used to be on that TV show, He Did a Night, he played Bubba. They elected him mayor in Fresno. What was that, about 25, 30 years ago? I was at a community meeting with this guy, and I walked up to him, and I was, you know, saying something about Southwest Fresno. And this man looked at me, he said, you know, the trouble with black people. Now, he said this to my face. He said, you know, the trouble with black people, y'all make a lot of noise. You know, you get upset, you make a lot of noise, but you don't have any follow through. And I wanted to go off on him so bad, but the fact of the matter was he's right. Now, of the people that he's talking about, I'm not one of those people. I do follow through. Reverend Harris does follow through. But so many people who had complaints to him that night don't have any follow-through. I've been doing what I work in the community since I was 18 years old. I'm 61 now. So my record about involvement speaks for itself.
Are you retired?
And No, I'm not retired. I'm a caregiver for my mom. She's going to be 101 next month. So, so I care for her. But what I'm saying is that the conditions for black people in Fresno have gotten consistently bad, but the outcry has gotten even smaller. You know, I mean, it's gotten smaller, and Reverend Harris and I are trying to – well, I'll speak for myself. I'm trying to figure out where are those progressive black voices to stand up and say enough is enough.
Well,
because we're only two individuals. We could only do so much.
Well, apparently you don't have any out there.
Exactly.
Let's just face it. 40-some-odd, I know some clubs got more members in it than that.
But as long as I'm in Fresno, I've got to continue to fight. I'll speak for myself on that one.
I think what it is also, I think the other night we're all talking about the education system, pro and con, and I think that what happens is that you have people in Fresno who came through West Fresno, the poverty community, mm-hmm. but received their education and then moved up north past Shaw, as I was mm-hmm. stating earlier, and then what happens is that when you move away, a couple of things happen. One, you move your vote, right? You move it from this community to their community. Number two, when you buy a home, the taxes that you pay on that property, you know, it's up there to beautify that area. When you buy your groceries and your gas and all that type of stuff, you know, you're investing in that community, but you not investing in the community that took care of you when you were younger. Now, I'm not saying that everyone has a right to live where they want to live. I'm not saying that you should stay here. What I'm saying is that if everyone has that ideology and concept that we're going to get an education, this community took care of me, It nurtured me, but now I got my master's, my bachelor's, and now I'm going to move up north. I mean, how do we invest in this community when everyone wants to move out of the community? And then those living up north that has the power, where you just left and moved, they buy that house. And so now it comes a rental where now they're getting, you see what I'm saying?
There's a disconnect. There's a disconnect from your home community. Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out.
But, me too, and I'm older than you.
But men like myself, which is really none other than myself, that's a people person that really, analyze things before, I have to move into action or marching or protesting or whatever the case may be, is that I'm listed as a troublemaker. Now, the statistics, sir, that you read, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Okay? I don't like those percentages, but I'm not the one that responsible for that put that on the paper that you just read. Okay? But here I am trying to motivate, educate, organize the community to say, hey, look at these statistics. Look at this. Look at everything you read. Are you happy with this? I mean, what
can we turn that around?
Those in power say, you know what? Reverend Harris is a troublemaker. Don't go around him. He's anti-police. He's
that's
labels.
That's the status quo.
And it scares people.
Some people, yeah.
It scares some people.
But what kind of jobs are available? What kind of industry or employment?
Go ahead, Arlene.
I was just going to say, for a lot of people, brother, the safest jobs were civil servant jobs. Those were the safest jobs. I could be wrong, Rev. You correct me. Teacher jobs, internal revenue. There's a big internal revenue complex here. Post office jobs like that. Those are the jobs that when I was coming up, a lot of people went for if they wasn't going to be a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer, something like that. They were going, you have people who are going to beauty school. Black beauticians make a heck of a lot of money. A heck of a lot of money.
Well, post office is just about gone by the wayside.
Now it has.
Yeah. Blacks started getting into that when they was paying $2.10 an hour, and whites didn't want those jobs, so. At that time, but if your children and your youth aren't being trained in high demand jobs, well, you said civil service, they competing against other, especially Hispanics. Yeah. Hispanics outnumber you six to one.
Yep, that's right. So now they have different magnet schools in Fresno that are specialized high school for performing arts or science or they even have one called University High, which is on the campus of my alma mater, Fresno State. And they have high schools that are opening now that are, Ref, what's that high school that Jim Yovino was opening up? He was telling us about it when we had that last Freedom School meeting. Out there by Easton, that they were opening up that C-Tech center that's going to do specialized kind of training. So there's different things that, they're trying to change that. But in the meantime, you've got places like Ulta and Amazon who are putting big complexes here, but they're paying starvation wages. And people are fighting to get those jobs.
For like warehouses?
So you can work at Amazon and still qualify for food stamps. That's why they come here, because this is an ag area and the wages are notoriously low.
Well, y'all need to think about getting someplace else. because that ain't gonna, that's not gonna get no.
But I apologize. That's the easy out, brother. If we stay, and I have to stay as long as my mother is alive. But and I would
if your mother passed away, God forbid, what you gonna do?
Well, you know, I own property here because the house she's living in. You know, I'm partial owner of that, and I'm the only sibling left, so it's my house. So I have a choice. I could either sell it, or I could refurbish it, rent it out, or I can live in it and continue to, you know, try to empower others in my community. Because it's easy to leave. See, this is the whole thing. Most of the people that I went to high school with 40 years ago have left. We got a black brain drain in Fresno.
Well, you know, even the Army, even the Army teaches you there's a time when you're supposed to retreat.
Wow. Grandma, I want you to address this because, see, you're younger than me. I'm closer to retirement age. He's saying he
Let me ask you something else. Didn't you tell
me
you had some relatives? Didn't you say you had relatives someplace else in the country, in the South?
Oh, I have. My parents are from rural Texas. They're from Bryan.
Well, maybe that's where you need to head to. God forbid your mother passed away.
I'm thinking about it.
Eventually she is.
We own land down there, so there's a place for me to go. But the thing is that is not going to solve the problems that are happening.
Well,
in Fresno.
The problem's going to solve itself because everybody's going to be gone but you.
Well, I doubt that. I doubt that. There's always going to be black people in Fresno. But what kind of black people are they going to be? Are they going to be the kind that just say, okay, well, let's forget it and let's just continue to take what it is?
Well, it's easy
to just say that's it. So
I think one have to understand that there's a lot of fear here. And I'm not saying there's no fear nowhere in the country. But what I'm saying is we have this government. Okay, so this is what I want to say earlier. We have a chief of police who is over the police department. He has a lot of power, a lot of influence. He's on speed dial with every judge in the court, state, federal, whatever. He can sign warrants, whatever, get warrants for houses, for raids or whatever. There's a history I think the institution came out of Berkeley College that came down here and did an extensive research on our police department that proved, and I would like to send you this information too, sir, as well, proved and showed that black people are the most profiled people in the city through statistics. You would just drop your mouth like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
They're the lowest percentage, but yet you're saying they're the most profile. Something's wrong. All right. So my point is that this good old boy system here in Fresno is that the chief of police, when the district attorney run for office, he goes and endorses her. When the district attorney runs for office, because our chief of police is appointed by the mayor. The chief of police then goes when people want to run for city council, he then go endorse who he wants for city council. So then understanding that if they get elected, who is their loyalty to? It's
well, they're supposed to be absent of politics in that particular case.
They're not. Yeah. They're not. That's the whole thing. They're not. It's all inclusive. And so now when you have the chief of police endorsing someone to run for city council now has to vote on his budget. Don't you forget who signed and gave you money for your campaign. You see what I'm saying? So the little people, so why little people don't use the minnows that's on the little bank. And then you have the big fish out in the deep water. That's the concept that we're dealing with here. And it just goes from that to, but I'm like you. I've been telling everybody what you said the other night. We need to get the hell out of here.
Well, when you lay it on the table, that's the only option.
I know. said, man, I said, the brother said, we need to get the hell out of here. He said, I'm looking at y'all statistics. He said, y'all need to get the hell out of there.
And many do, and don't come back.
And I just looked at him tonight. You know, I apologize for Oregon being so argumentative.
No,
the
okay.
other times I was on here, but I didn't know this was this bad.
You're forgiven.
That's why we have the radio show, because it's like
we learn
from each other, you know. Some may learn later or quicker, whatever. But the more you dialogue, like, you know, either this person is not saying you, but saying, you know, I'm talking to these people in California, either they that illiterate or they can't be that bad. But when you start reading the statistics, you'd be like, wait a minute. That can't be true.
Wait a minute.
So what's your ties to Fresno's, Reverend?
My ties? My family came out here from Arkansas back in the 1950s. My grandpa was a sharecropper. He only had a second grade education, married my grandma. They raised six children. One of them was my father. He then opened up a service station about 10 years, closed it. All of the brothers, except for one, is deceased. My grandmother's still alive with old timers. She's like 86.
She's there in Fresno?
Yes, sir. And I pastor a church here, as well as I have my own school, Fresno Freedom School, where we teach kids how to farm.
Are you part of the Council of Independent Black Institutions, CB?
No, sir.
Mm-hmm. How large is your congregation?
Mine is because of probably about 20 on a good day.
Now you're putting your own money in running that building.
Yeah, pretty much. Because the type of ministry we run is not your typical, you know, just come in, pass the offering plate and, you know, sing and go home. We are more community minded, you know, in the community, on the sidewalk, you know, in the courthouse if we need to be, speaking truth to power. But because we're like that, we're not a like ministry, even by the ministers, because it's like, you know, we're friends with the people that don't like you. And so we can't associate with you. So we're really independent, right? So, I mean, it's just an uphill struggle. I mean, I haven't did anything to you, brothers. Why you don't like me? I mean, you're anti-police. Well, what do I do to be anti-police? I'm about what's right. You know, you just can't shoot a brother just because you felt threatened and he had nothing in his pocket and there's no accountability. Listen, you can't even run a stop sign, sir, and kill somebody and don't even get manslaughter. But here in Fresno, I know of a court case, and I can bring the mother on the show, you can talk to her, that they planted a gun on this young man. They wanted him so bad that they planted a gun on him. And when it got to court, they called over 90-something police officers and said, how did this gun get here? And nobody could tell how the gun got there. Well, the only way it got there is you guys printed it.
Exactly.
And they let the kids.
It's fascinating to me that the Department of Justice haven't shut down Fresno Police Department, but, you know, you got to know people. You got to know people. So DOJ really needs to shut them down.
Our police department here, I got to give it to them. They deserve an A and a Grammy Award on manipulation. They deserve an award on pimping the preachers in our community. They deserve an award on bringing bounce houses and hot dogs in our community and patting our children on the head at the age of 5 and shooting them in the back 15. They just deserve all honors. And it's just interesting to me how a lot of our – let me tell you what a pastor told this other sister. I don't know if you've been following this blackface stuff that made national news here in Fresno. But you can go to YouTube and type in Reverend Harris of Blackface Bullet High School.
Uh-huh.
And there's a sister that lives in Atlanta that used to live here. And she called one of the local pastors and asked him, says, look, Are you working with Reverend Harrison Fresno? Because it seems like he's the only one that's taking on this issue of the black face. And I don't hear anything from no other people. Let me tell you what the pastor said. He said, well, yeah, Reverend Harris, I mean, you know, he's passionate about what he do, and he stands up for the people, and, you know, but do you work with him? That's my question. What? She said, well, no, I don't work with him. Well, why don't you work with him? Well, because, you know, the police department is who gets all the money from the city. And, you know, we're trying to do projects at our church, and, you know, we have to deal with the city, and, you know, we can't talk to him like he does. I mean, even though he's right, you know, more than he's wrong, but we just can't talk to them because we have to work with them because to get what we want for our church and our congregation. That's what he told his sister from Atlanta that has a relative here. And so she told me what she said, and I just shook my head. I said, wow. I said, this is really something.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
I mean, this power structure here has really sunk its teeth into the backs of our black people and just shaking them like a pit bull, just shaking them to where they just submit to whatever they do to our people.
Well, people don't understand, no matter what part of the country you live in, not all money is good money. I mean, money is a tool. Money wasn't supposed to control your life. And, you know, I didn't grow up dirt poor. My parents were like, you know, a construction worker, union wages, and a seamstress. But we didn't have to worry about food or shelter or anything like that. But my whole point is all money is not good money. And these people have been seduced by this police money. So they don't
want to
bite the hand that's feeding them.
Well, that's all there is, probably in many cases. Yeah. Well, look, I don't know what to tell y'all, but what I said last week, I could end with the same thing. But, you know, all kidding aside, you're in terrible shape. First, you don't have the numbers. I mean, that's the main thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you really only down to about less than 20,000 adults. Half of those have to be kids.
Here's a way to turn that around, brother. We need more black people moving to Fresno, and definitely more people with money moving to Fresno, because believe me, there are black developers in Fresno who have money.
Mm-hmm.
They have money, but they're not invested in Southwest Fresno. Okay.
Let me say this for our brother Go. I hope tomorrow, I guess, what is 2-hour difference or 3-hour difference from where here to where you are?
Two hour.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get out there for my son for the Grambling and Southern University game at New Orleans. Hopefully I get a chance that we can meet and just talk and chat. I hope tomorrow that you can tune in to this. I got to speak at the West Fresno Democratic Club tomorrow. Hopefully they'll let me live stream the lecture while I'm there. But like I said, I just think that we're just trying to figure out, and I tell people this, and I really hate to say this, I just don't think the black community is so far gone right now that I don't even know it can be turned around. I really don't, because we don't have the numbers. We have too many sellouts. The power structure here has bought off our churches, which was at one point in time the nucleus of the heart of our community, which has been silent here. I don't know if we're beating a dead horse. That's what I'm trying to say. The horse is dead. Why do we keep beating it? But like you said, I've been telling everybody what you said the other week. I said, this brother said we need to get the hell out of here.
Well, to be truthful with you, I don't see any. I don't see how y'all gonna turn that around. because some Hispanics are growing, and they don't even deal with you, probably don't even look you in the eye. There's something going on there, too. I don't want to talk about it now, but, you know, you have to lay them options on the table and see which is going to work best for you. The lady here, a mother, hopes she hang on for another 40 years.
Thank you. At least, hey, I'll take five.
But let me say,
I'll take five and be happy.
Let me tell you this before you go. So when I took my son back to Southern University for summer, and I took him back to enroll in school, I had an opportunity to drive over to Mississippi. I think it was a place called West Point or something like that. And my mother-in-law lives out there. They brought 18 acres or whatever. And so there's a house down there that one of the church members own and want to sell. So I had an opportunity to go look at it. So here in Fresno, I drive school bus. So I'm driving down here the street, and I see this house, kind of country looking, and got some land in the back, you know. Call the agent. Mm. He says, it's 2.5, 3 acres, you know, 4 bedroom, 3 bath, you know. Oh, okay, I said, well, how much is it? $500,000. Half a million for a 2.3-acre lot.
Mm-hmm.
No sidewalks, no nothing. Not even really developed, right? So here I am in Mississippi. I drove 6 hours from Baton Rouge to get to this West Point where I was at. I look at this house, sits back off the road, probably the length of a football field. 3 bedroom, 2 baths, 3-car garage. Sits on 10 acres for $150,000. Now, you do the math.
Whoa.
Yeah, land is cheap down there.
Wow.
And that's where, you know, blacks that worked up north is moving down south to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they bring in an appreciable amount of money, more so than the people that's been
right
there.
Right.
And if they're able to do a lot of things, if that's what their mind was set on doing.
Well, that's how the black people who have money in Fresno now, they weren't raised here. They came from someplace else with their money, and they're investing, and they're making a ton. So, and I'm not hating on them for that. I'm just wishing that they'd spread that around and, you know, have a little quid pro quo going on just based on race. I'm not ashamed to say it, but it's really a sin and a shame that it's like that, and that's one of the reasons why Fresno Freedom School is hosting the Progressive Black Summit, and I'm going to be announcing that at the meeting tomorrow, too, as part of my president's report, because those of us who live in this valley all the way from Stockton and Northern California down to Bakersfield, just before you get to the Grapevine, we need to address this, because this is not just Fresno that is having these problems. Stockton's having it, Modesto, Merced, Fresno, Visalia, all these smaller towns in this valley are having the same issues. The black people that live there are having the same issues. So we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, and put them numbers out there. They probably don't know that themselves, but they should realize it.
Yes.
You know, you show a population, but that population is counting kids and babies. So you got to take them out of the equation and leave people in there from 18 years probably on up to about 60, 55. But anyway, I'm going to let you guys get back to your program, and I'll know where to find you.
Yeah, where did you find your statistics from, if I may ask?
Oh, I just done I'll tell you here in a second.
Did you go to the U.S. Census?
No, it's a whole thing here on Fresno. It's called worldpopulationreview.com, U.S. cities, Fresno population. And I got there by doing a Google demographics of Fresno, California. And it's the second article down. The first article is a wiki. And the second article is called World Population Review. Fresno, California population 2019.
Fresno, world population. Okay, got it.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Good luck to you. Good luck to you and your mom, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye now.
All right.
We're
at the end of our show. I mean, we kind of went over a little bit, but I think it was healthy. I'd like to thank Cheryl Sumler for tuning in. This person named like Tanya Smith. Need to get a hold of you. I'll look you up on Facebook. Look like there's some issues going on with a son in the county jail. Like he's been beaten by the deputies. I'll be giving let's hook up. Thank you, Teresa, for tuning in. Sharon, thank you for tuning in. Tricia, thank you. And I think I said thank you to Richardson, Lamar Smith, thank you. Sherry Martinez. Okay, I said thank you to all of them. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and sign out, get ready for tomorrow. I'll be speaking at the West Fremantle Democratic Club. Reference to black issues. Don't know what gear I'm going to go in yet, but pretty sure I'll be in some gear. I'll be out of neutral.
Y'all
tell
should
you that.
Come out. Listeners, come out of here to Rev. Come on now. Y'all know you don't want to miss it.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, you're back on the floor. Tell us what you always tell us.
All right. Well, I like to close out with is we want all y'all to be safe and blessed and stay black till we get back. All right now.